Thanks, Vic. Take care.
You don't get them girls loose,
TJR.
Loose. You don't get the world loose, loose. You don't get money,
Mr. Worldwide.
But I do, I do. You don't get them girls loose, loose. You don't get the world loose, loose. You don't get money, but I do.
Nathan Zagura, Vic Carucci. At this time, we go to the hotline for the third member of our team, Gerard Cherry. Gerard, what's going on, man?
He's getting organized.
Come on.
Come on, Gerard.
We thought we were timing you.
What'd you say?
All right, what's your 40 time now? Because it used to be pretty good. I saw you run in the field house, so we were figuring where you were. Dino was giving us a little play-by-play, and we were in our heads, counting how long it would take you to get in place. But I know there was a put-on-the-headset factor, so you were probably there. And right when Nathan spoke, you didn't have the headset.
Exactly, because you got to unfold that and put that in there, plug it in, and make sure the adapter fits, and then the right tune in. Then on top of that, you got to fix your microphone and make sure that's at the right level.
Beautiful.
And there you have it.
And now you're with us.
Hello. Now let me ask you this, because Vic has calmed down significantly in the last 24 hours. Where are you at right now? Are you still firing, cutting a lot of people from this Browns team, or have you kind of calmed down a little bit?
I'm still bringing people in for workouts. Don't get me wrong. Just to send a message, but I have calmed down a bunch. Yes, I have allowed it to dissipate my anger, my hostility at the situation from Sunday. So I have calmed down, but I still walk away from it with a problem. And that problem is we were in a situation where we could have done something meaningful and significant,
yep.
And the guys that need to step up across the board did not do that, and that's an issue moving forward. And obviously this week I'll see how they respond and react to the failure of last week, to see how professional they really are. But I need guys that can overcome those moments. You have to be a team of overcomers. That's how you become a Super Bowl champion. You have to be an overcomer. And last week, I didn't see that collectively.
You know, and it's interesting that you mentioned that, because I know from everything I've heard just being in this building, yesterday was somewhat of an interesting, lively player meeting that they had, and it's the usual Monday get-together, the team meeting that you bring, as you know, right?
Mm-hmm.
On Monday, you bring everybody together. You kind of do the general thing before you do the position group breakout thing. And there were some very vocal guys addressing the team, primarily a guy like DeQuell Jackson, who wanted to make sure some certain points were made about what took place on Sunday, and just the feeling that where this team is, and maybe a reminder and understanding of everything you're talking about, Gerard. And I think I know the players got it. Now, I know you want them to understand and get this stuff before games and not talk about it after the effect when it doesn't go the right way. But it's encouraging at least that's been addressed.
Oh, definitely. Don't let it just go by the wayside and say, oh, well, we'll get it next time. No, there is no next time. And these players that are younger should be lucky they have a DeQuell Jackson in the locker room who can shoot it straight to you and say the following. Look, you're not safe and secure to be in this league as long as I've been in here. I've been through some things. I've gone through some things, and I will continue to go through some things. But let me tell you one thing is this. If you do not show up and show out when your number is called and when you're asked to be the best at your role and fulfill it, you will be sitting at home come Sunday observing me and other people as opposed to being on this football team. And that message needs to be hit hard and harder and harder and harder.
It does, and that is a message that needs to be hit hard quickly, because turning around, now the Browns have to get ready for the Pittsburgh Steelers at home. The Steelers surging after a very slow start to the season that saw them open the year at 0-4. How do you get turned around? How do you get focused and let go of the disappointment of what happened over the weekend to get focused on the job at hand this Sunday?
I think you really have to be mad and angry. And people say, well, that's a negative emotion. You can't respond with that. That only adds fuel to your fire for so long. Coming off that performance and you let something slip away like that, obviously you can't dwell on the fact you lost the game, but you got to take it out on somebody. It's a physical sport. It's still a aggressive sport. You're allowed to hit people to a certain degree. Just don't go upside their head. Just do that. It's really that simple, and execute. Execute and play angry with aggression, and that will make a difference, because that, again, is one of the things that we look at with this team and you say, what is missing collectively? And I would say aggression and aggressiveness, because I go back to someone earlier, talked about that whole James Harrison play. Did he look aggressive? Did he look like he was a guy bent on getting there? Now, the difference is James Harrison has championship monikers around him, so he understands the prices need to pay, and he has that inside of him. this team needs to get that element of it into them as a collective. There are a few guys that have it, but you can't have four or five guys with it, Vic and Nathan. It has to be entire, at least 80 to 90% of the team.
Dino, I think you had a tweet you said you wanted to share with us.
Yeah, guys, then you can tweet the show at Browns_daily. Michael Willens asks you guys, would you take Andy Dalton as the Browns starting quarterback long term?
No, that's ridiculous. That's absurd.
And I keep getting that too. As a matter of fact, Bruce and myself are in a Twitter battle, I guess, with this one gentleman who's convinced. And this is what he said today, guys. Listen to this. He said, if you look at the numbers, it shows that Andy Dalton and Tom Brady's numbers are the same.
In what
sense of
in this year?
As far as the first 3 years as starters and what those accomplishments are, and that basically what the guy was trying to say, his argument was that Andy Dalton is just like Tom Brady.
First of all, I would respond to that by saying take the average passing totals from Tom Brady's first 3 years in the NFL for all quarterbacks and then break his out as a percentage of that relative to what the passing totals of the day were, and you'll see that on a basis of that level, Brady did more. You also have to remember, too, Tom Brady was not someone who was expected to be, you know, carrying a big offense. He didn't have great wide receivers back at that point. Right. Andy Dalton is playing with A.J. Green, one of the top three wide receivers in the NFL. I would argue that really Tom Brady played with Randy Moss in 2007 when he was still at that level. Other than that, has never played with a game-changing, defining, era-defining wide receiver like A.J. Green. He does not make the mistakes that Andy Dalton makes either. He is not up and down, hot and cold like that. So I would totally disagree with that. And, I mean, you could speak to that better than anybody. You've seen Thomas Brady up close.
Well, Nathan, you made it too complex for me because I made it real simple in my response. All I know is this. Tom Brady had two Super Bowl rings in his first 3 years,
yeah,
and Andy Dalton went to playoffs twice.
I'm not putting Andy Dalton anywhere in the same sentence as Tom Brady. He would not be my choice to be the Browns quarterback forever, or you know, as whatever forever means in the NFL, the franchise guy.
Right.
I don't think the Browns are missing something with him there. And in light of what we saw Sunday, my God, that would be the worst timing for that argument. I mean, if he made that argument before October 31st,
yeah, you're good to go.
I might have been good with it.
You know what, though?
Can I just say this?
Even then, I wouldn't listen to you.
Go ahead.
I was gonna say I wouldn't listen to him then because I watched the Detroit Lions game versus the Bengals,
right,
and I see A.J. Green up in arms, and he's trying to be a team player, but the guy is underthrown left and right, and God bless Andy Dalton. He tries. He makes good decisions. If you don't have the skills, you just don't have the skills.
And that's the bottom line. And I think there's also, though, sometimes you need to be able to evaluate in isolation and evaluate the play of a quarterback. And I know it's great to quote Super Bowls, but at the same time, as you talk about, Gerard, to win in this league, it's got to be complementary football. It still is a team game. A quarterback by himself, no matter how good he is, as Dan Marino, can't win unless he's getting defensive support, unless he's getting special team support, and everybody's coming together to win. So you know, like, for example, Joe Flacco. I know he won a Super Bowl. I know he had the best run ever. But Joe Flacco is not that good of a quarterback. And I think if you look at things in isolation, you see that. And if you were to put it this way, if you take Tom Brady off of the New England Patriots and put him on the Cincinnati Bengals, I think they go to the Super Bowl. You take Andy Dalton off of the Bengals and put him on the Patriots, they're going to have a tough time competing, to me, in the AFC East.
Last night, Tom Brady,
he was great.
He practically willed that team to a win. And that was against a great defense, not a good defense, a great defense.
The best pass defense in the league.
So to do what he was doing, and I said it all along, this statistically isn't his best year or whatever the arguments are. Tom Brady was as Tom Brady as he could be last night.
And you watched the game last night, and Jason Campbell and Brian Hoyer have given us some flashes of some good moments. And it's been encouraging. But obviously, guys, we need that level of play on a consistent basis to get to where we're trying to get with this organization. And
that guy isn't on the team yet.
No, he's not. He's just not. And let's just be real and say what it is. We were hoping that one of these guys could be the pass torch guy for that guy, but he's not on the team. He's just not.
All right, Gerard, thank you so much. You can hear Gerard Cherry, of course, with Bruce Hooley and Hooley and Gerard following this show. And that's going to put a wrap on this show.
Man.
It went fast.
Big announcement coming up.
3 o'clock, by the way, the joint announcement between the City of Cleveland and the Cleveland Browns. Stay tuned here to ESPN 850 WKNR for all the details of that. want to thank Jim Donovan for being part of the show. Jameer Howerton, who brought aboard Fozzie Whitaker, the two of them, thank you very much. Want to thank our outstanding producer, Dave DiNatale, for his work all the way through. Gerard Cherry, of course, for his regular spot. Carly McCord tweeting throughout, and she will be posting the much...
Cleveland Browns, the wrap.
Let me tell you something. This thing is much anticipated, and this too might become nationally renowned. It's the Browns Daily Wrap. And
y'all.
Catch it here, y'all, on clevelandbrowns.com. Louisiana, Carly taking care of that for us. For Nathan Zagura, I'm Vic Carucci, saying we will talk to you again tomorrow on Cleveland Browns Daily.
Driven by Liberty Ford. Here we go, Brownies. Here we go. Steeler Week.
I did that time and spent that bread. I'm headed home. I'm almost there.
The preceding program was a production of the Cleveland Browns and a part of the Browns Media Network.